This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Colin Court is running the show. Hopefully your Mother's Day weekend is off to a great start. A little rainy, a little cloudy, a little wet outside right now. But Jeff Penner, 41 Action News, says most of the rain should be out sometime between noon and 1. This is hour number 3 of the show. We've already spoken with David Leske from Baseball Prospectus about the Royals and the 5-1 win last night and the performance of the bullpen, especially of Scott Barlow in a high leverage situation. So, David, hour number 1, if you missed that, it'll be on the podcast later today at 810WHB.com. We also spoke with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, who covers the Chiefs and all things NFL. Had some fun with that. And now for hour number 3, our third and final hour, we welcome in our good friend Andy Edwards from The Athletic, who covers Sporting KC, Major League Soccer, U.S. men's and women's national team, and just about anything he wants to, because The Athletic gives you the freedom to do it. Andy, how are you on this rainy Saturday morning?
I'm doing all right, Brad, but how can you ask me, or anyone for that matter, to follow Nick Jacobs on the show? Wow.
I tell you what, in all the years I worked with him at the former the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, I don't know if I've ever saw a guy work more off the clock to study film to make sure that he and all of us were the best prepared we could to talk Chiefs football. Just the kid is just a dynamite hard worker.
Nick loves football the most, I think. Yes. It's fair to say.
In fact, we were joking before the draft. I think we've joked about this the last couple of years. The NFL draft is his Super Bowl. It's not the Super Bowl itself. Super Bowl is just another game for Nick. It's the draft that really gets him going.
Yeah, I really like that. Nick is the best.
Well, this had to be a great morning for you, because I know you work some late nights sometime trying to get stuff written and posted on The Athletic. So a nice, rainy, dark, kind of chilly Saturday morning is probably perfect for you to sleep in a little bit.
You would be shocked to know I've not gotten out of bed yet this morning.
What's the old joke? Yeah, I didn't get up till the crack of noon.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, when you work in the evenings, and I wake when the soccer that I need to cover is happening.
That is right. And there's no English Premier League today. It's all tomorrow, which I know you're going to be covering some of that, and we'll be glued to the TV sets. And I'll get to that a little bit later in this segment. We're speaking with Andy Edwards, who covers Sporting KC and everything soccer for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at AndyEdMLS. And I guess, Andy, the big story of the week this week, there were a couple of big stories that developed, but let's start with the latest one. Is Sporting is off tonight. They'll play Sunday night, 6 o'clock at DC United. Big story this week is Benny Failhaber is back with the team. And there were a couple of days of, I guess, hint dropping, especially by Benny Failhaber himself. I get it. Benny Failhaber is a good dude. He's a good leader in the clubhouse or the dressing room. He's still got a little bit left in the tank. But I wonder if this is a little bit of desperation on the part of Sporting KC, grabbing at straws, trying to find something that works, trying to find something that sparks the team. If it works, great. I'm fine with it. I love Benny Failhaber. I think he's fantastic. But I wonder if this is a little bit of desperation on Sporting's part.
Well, you mentioned all the things that he can be and probably will be for this team. I think you left out the most important one, though, a longtime center circle viewer.
That's right.
According to him himself, I went out to the press conference on Wednesday, I believe it was, and you know, said, hey, and the first thing he said was, do you still do center circle? I think he missed, you know, having the show being out of Kansas City and obviously the show being gone. So shout out Benny for that. I think there's two ways you can look at Sporting going out and getting him. From an individual perspective, you know, what does Failhaber still have left to give? Yeah, he's going to be in kind of that latter portion of his career, where it's a little bit more about the intangible, some of the leadership and everything. And with the injuries that Sporting have going on right now, I think they're missing some of those things just as much, if not more, than the talent of the players that are currently out injured. And I'm talking, you know, Matt Beisler, Roger Espinoza, Elie, who's not really been fit to play but has come on late in the last couple of games. I think you could make a case those are the three most important leaders on the entire team. And for them all to be out at once, I think that's what I've noticed the last couple of games when they've really struggled is when things start going against them, when there's a little bit of adversity that hits, they just kind of fold up and roll over. And so to bring someone in like Failhaber for a couple of months at least until Espinoza is back, and I think he's the most important one of those, just in terms of setting the intensity and the kind of the level that he holds everybody else to, I think he can fill some of that role while obviously being a very different player. And then from Sporting's perspective, they just need bodies right now, like a body with a heart that can pump blood through it,
right.
Can go out on the field, and give them some minutes, especially in the midfield. You know, Jean-Luc Cubicio's with the U-17 national team, mentioned Elie and Roger. Felipe Gutierrez has kind of been playing a little bit deeper in the midfield, and it's just not his best spot. I think Failhaber probably, at least initially, will start in there, unless Elie is able, you know, to come back for tomorrow night's game. He played a little bit of that for Sporting in his last couple of years. He played almost exclusively there for LAFC last year, and then a little bit this year as well for Colorado. So he's a little bit more familiar with it. And I think the comfort level that he has when he's on the ball, he will be the first player in that midfield for the last couple of weeks that you can't just press and put under pressure and, you know, they're going to give the ball away right away. You know, that's just, you know, that's not in his game. So I think for the short term, it'll have a nice little impact. Now, it remains to be seen whether there's minutes for him once everybody's back healthy and they've got the full first 11 to pick from.
We're speaking with Andy Edwards, who covers Sporting KC and all of soccer for The Athletic. A couple more things on Benny Failhaber. You talk about his leadership. I heard Peter Vermes on with Seren Petro earlier this week, and I think Peter's the best coach-manager interview in Kansas City. He's just brutally honest about everything. And he said, look, I needed a guy in that dressing room. I needed a guy in that locker room who could not only translate the message, what I heard reading between the lines was reinforce what I'm telling these guys because maybe they don't listen 100%. Here's the thing. You remember when Benny Failhaber first came to Sporting KC. He was on the outs with New England, correct?
Uh-huh.
Came to Sporting KC, and he and Peter Vermes butted heads. And Benny Failhaber did not play when he first got here. That was 5 years ago? So it took a while for Peter to get the message across to Benny Failhaber. Then he got it. Then he understood it. They started winning cups again, and they started winning trophies again. And that's what Benny said in his press conference the other day. He said, I miss winning cups. You know, it was great to be back home in L.A. Sure. Colorado's nice. Great. But we were not competing for cups, at least not in L.A. when he was there. And so maybe that helps Peter out a little bit, where guys are in the locker room complaining about this or saying, I don't understand that. Benny can be that guy that says, hey, pay attention. This is how we do it. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to be here. He can be the guy. And I stressed this point also to somebody. They were like, well, they still have Beasler and Roger and all that. And I said, sometimes guys don't want to listen to you if you're not playing. That's just a fact. It goes on in every professional sport.
Yeah, I got to sit down with Benny for about 15 minutes or so the day that he came back, and kind of asked him about that a little bit when he, you know, the struggles of the first season and why it was difficult. And you know, you're totally right there. There was a demand, I'll say, placed from Peter Vermes placed on him that his, you know, his fitness, his endurance, his defensive work rate to be higher than it was when he came here, and he was never known for that. And so he kind of, you know, he came in as a starter, lost his starting job for 3 or 4 months at a really important time of the season. And then kind of by a stroke of luck, you know, as far as injuries to other players can be, was forced back into the starting lineup. Basically, I think the last game of the regular season and then into the playoffs, and, you know, had two of the three most, you know, kind of important plays of the entire playoff run on the way to winning MLS Cup that year. So I think as much as anything, it is someone that's currently healthy that they can take on a leadership position, but also can vouch for what Vermes is preaching, you know, that can say, I've been here under this before. I've won doing it this way, doing it his way. And outside of, I guess, Seth Sinovic, who's not, you know, obviously not the rah-rah kind of guy, the guy who's going to, you know, get in your face or give the halftime speech or whatever, Benny would be about the only one that's currently healthy to play at the moment. So just somebody that maybe is, you know, on Peter's side in terms of, you know, kind of conveying some of those messages and being the extension of the coach on the field. There's a lot of different ways I think that he's going to be able to use Benny in this, you know, kind of this season. But I'm almost just taking it kind of week to week and month to month with Benny, because it's such a different situation now than it's going to be a couple months from now, and obviously as we get much deeper into the season as well.
We're speaking with Andy Edwards from The Athletic, covers Sporting KC and all of soccer in the U.S. and basically around the world. He's seen it all. Andy, there was another bit of drama that popped up this week. I don't know if drama is the right word, but it was kind of controversial. So Peter Vermes was at a speaking engagement, I believe, at Rockhurst University. Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star was there, took notes, recorded what he said. And in Sam's story for the Kansas City Star, and I just preface this by saying, I have no problem with this. I'm just setting up what happened. So in the story, Sam McDowell had some quotes from Peter Vermes about leadership and teamwork. And Peter had singled out a former player, Kai Kamara, who we all know very well, as saying, you know, he was with the team for a couple of years, and then he went to England for a little while, and then he came back. And Peter said when he came back, Kai Kamara was not the same player. He was no longer a team player. He was about himself. And Peter said he felt, and I'm paraphrasing here, he felt he had to set an example for the rest of the team. If you're not here to be part of the team, you ain't going to be here. So this story gets up, and it goes all over the soccer world. And I'm sure you've read it. And that would have been one thing. And I don't think Peter was all that happy about it, but Sam said, I've got the tape. Everything that I wrote was accurate. Kai Kamara gets a hold of the story, and he goes on Twitter and Instagram saying how upset he was with these quotes and how personally he was taking it. And I thought he was going to cry at one point. And so then it's, you know, did Peter call Kai? Did they work it out? Sam McDowell's in the middle of it because he wrote the story. Sam McDowell's not the story here. He did what he's supposed to do as a reporter. He reported the facts. He's one of the best at it. But this blew up into something that, A, Sporting didn't need, and B, I was just kind of like, who cares? Kai Kamara's not here anymore. I don't feel bad at all.
Yeah, it was an interesting one to kind of obviously follow along, but also kind of know a little bit more about what was going on behind everything this week. And I'll agree with mostly with your assessment there of kind of where I believe, you know, because fault is a subjective thing, where I believe the fault lies. Sam doing his job and a thing was said and it was noteworthy, and so it would have been interesting to people, and I think it certainly was, and two, it wasn't, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people have lost sight of, it wasn't the main point of the story.
It Correct.
Was buried pretty deep down in the story as just kind of, you know, a third example of Vermes kind of talking about culture and ambition for players and coaches and everything. And of course, you know, to hear something like that, if you're Kai Kamara, is, you know, it's not going to be a great day. You know, it's not going to be a great time to sit down and read that and see quotes from a former coach and, you know, someone who you truly believe still has a lot of love for you. And that was kind of the point that he conveyed in his Instagram video. And so, you know, he acted, as he reacted. And I think a lot of people that know or know about Kai Kamara were probably not surprised that was kind of the tone of the response that came from him. And then, you know, Sam obviously proved that everything that was written was, you know, spoken by Vermes. And so I think at the end of the day, my overarching point on the entire thing is if you're going to say something about someone and you want to keep kind of, you know, plausible deniability by not actually mentioning their name, but going so far as to say leading scorer 2012, if you follow us, you know who I'm talking about, and making so many references to someone, just put their name in it. Say this is Kai Kamara and this is the person that I'm talking about in this story, you know, rather than being only the slightest bit transparent, because then it causes a real gray area where I think Kai Kamara got stuck in. I think Sam got stuck in. I think Peter, to an extent, got stuck in it as well. It was silly. I will say will be the adjective to use to describe the entire situation. But these are not, and just very, very side note, very quickly, these are not things that have not been said about Kai Kamara before, in one place, in two places, three places, four places, five places, six places during his career.
Yes.
Especially in MLS. And, it would stand to reason that if something comes up that many times at that many different places with that many different people, there might be a little bit of truth to it. And maybe someone should consider that themselves.
Sometimes it stops being everybody else's fault. It was a little bit of drama. I think it blew up a little bigger than it needed to, but I think what Peter said was accurate, and establishing your culture and that sort of thing. So we'll move on from that, because Kai's not here anymore. I think it hurt him a little bit too, because he really liked Kansas City, and he married someone who worked with the organization, who's from Kansas City. So that's probably why he took it a little more personally. All right, back to more serious things, things that matter on the field. You mentioned, we're speaking with Andy Edwards, who covers Sporting KC and soccer for The Athletic. You mentioned the injuries a little bit earlier, and I was just looking at the injury list from Sporting Notes. So out for tomorrow's game, Roger Espinoza, Jerseh Fernandez, Fontas probably out, Eric Hurtado, Jalen Lindsey, Jimmy Madronda, although we saw video of him working out this week, Rodney Wallace, Juan Kuzain, and then you have questionable Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, and then as you mentioned, Gianluca Busio is out with the U.S. U-17 men's national team. So once again, a rash of injuries, and you're probably not going to have a full complement of 18 players to go into this game against DC United, a team that is tied for the top spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's going to be another real patchwork starting lineup, obviously. Strangely enough, the front three is the kind of the least affected by injuries and kind of the strongest unit of this team right now, which, if you've followed Sporting for the last decade or so, has never been the case. And so, Shaoui, Namath, and Johnny Russell across the front is very formidable. And I know they weren't able to score against Atlanta last weekend. I think a lot of the struggles of the attack right now is the lack of a midfield behind them. A lack of a defense behind them is a problem for the midfield as well. It's kind of one of those soccer is domino things where, the defense is not really kind of, winning the ball in kind of advantageous areas of the field where they can then, kind of build out of the back, and they can get the ball to the midfield in dangerous places, as typically is the case with Matt Beisler and especially with Fontas playing alongside him, two center backs who can just, put the ball absolutely anywhere they want on the field. And then the midfield to not have Roger Espinoza to kind of drive the game forward, to not have that, kind of calming presence and calling the shots from Elie in midfield, that they're not creating anything. They're not even able to retain possession when they've got the ball. It really is kind of just frantic, hair on fire stuff where, oh God, I'm under pressure from two guys. Got to get rid of this thing as quick as I can. And they're just missing a little bit of calm in there. And so that's obviously affecting the service that comes into the forward. So I would imagine it's probably a pretty similar lineup to what we saw against Atlanta. Kellen Rowe, probably a pretty good bet to get another start in midfield. We'll see if it's Johan Quaze or Benny Failhaber that gets a start. And if it's Failhaber, I would imagine he plays deeper and Felipe Gutierrez pushes up just a little bit more, where he's obviously much more effective. And still has the legs to do so, whereas, with Failhaber, he's going to have to really be kind of selective and pick and choose those moments when he digs a little bit deeper and open things up. And as far as the defense, I got no idea. I truly have no idea. Obviously, Seth Sinovic came back into the starting lineup last weekend. Quaze had been there. That change could happen again, I guess, but with Zusi questionable, maybe Kellen Rowe has to play right back in this game, which then means Quaze and Failhaber in the midfield with Goody. So, the center back situation also not great. Fontas, Beisler, both questionable, I believe, as you said there. So Botan Barat with Graham Smith again. That could be interesting. That could be really interesting going on the road to play DC United and Wayne Rooney and Luciano Acosta, who you know, kind of like Atlanta did last weekend, they might feast. They might get some good eating in on that Sporting back line tomorrow night.
Hey, Andy, Connell here. So just piggybacking off the back of that, what you were saying, the starting 11, obviously it's a bit of a mess. I know you said you were out at the Failhaber presser during the week. Was that discussed about with Failhaber coming in, if Elie isn't fit, he would be sitting in more of a holding role? Because as you said, I know it had a lot to do with the two centre-halves last week, but with Gutierrez having, obviously, his instinct is to go forward, he doesn't like to sit. Do you think that's more of an option, bringing in Failhaber to sit in the number six role?
Yeah, it's a great question. It wasn't said explicitly, by Vermes or by Failhaber, but I think, you know, if you just kind of look at what the last couple parts of, I guess, the last couple seasons when Failhaber was here last time around in 16 and 17, when, oh God, who was it? Sonny Mustafar for a period of that time, and I believe there was one season of overlap with Elie and Benny, and there were a couple games that Elie missed in his first season that up until very, very recently were the first minutes that he didn't play. I think he had 57 consecutive games where he not only started but played all 90 minutes across all competitions. So it was really just an Iron Man. But in those, you know, kind of couple rare moments, rare games, it was Failhaber that started deeper there. So I would imagine if you just kind of take the skill set and you take the fact that Failhaber is going to be a couple years older as well than he was last time around, you're gonna want to put a little bit less demand on him physically. That will probably be, at least when Elie is out, where he's going to play. Now it'll be interesting when Elie is back, and I don't believe his injury is thought to be anything, you know, at all serious, and it's just something that he's got to deal with and get back to 100%, and then, you know, everything will be fine there. So I would guess with, you know, an educated guess, we'll call it, that's where he'll at least begin playing until Elie is back. And then I think it gets really interesting. So we'll see on that.
All right, speaking with that, Andy Edwards from The Athletic covers Sporting KC and all things soccer. Sporting KC and DC United Sunday night at 6 o'clock. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, or you can watch it on Fox Sports 1. All right, Andy, the big question for you today. English Premier League regular season comes to an end tomorrow. All the games kick off at the same time at 9 a.m., which I absolutely love that every game is going at the exact same time. You know that I'm a longtime Liverpool fan. Liverpool is 1 point back of Manchester City. Liverpool has Wolves at home. Manchester City is on the road playing Brighthoven and Albion. Is there any... Oh, yes, I mispronounced it. Sorry. Is there any chance at all that Manchester City slips up just a little bit and Liverpool leapfrogs them and takes home the cup?
I hate when I have to deliver bad news to my friends.
I think I'm a realist, though, Andy.
Yeah, I think you need to be. I think you need to go into tomorrow prepared as a realist, or maybe even a cynic and a pessimist, and not you know, attach the potential happiness of your day or ensuing days to whether Liverpool, to whether Man City are going to slip up and let Liverpool, you know, kind of steal the title from them. On the bright side, though, I will say this: Liverpool this season, to the exact same degree that City have been this season, just so impressive what they have done. Whoever loses the title tomorrow is going to lose the title with the third highest points total in Premier League history. The highest total was Man City last season. The second highest total will be whoever wins the title this season, and then followed by the loser of the title this season. In the, you know, 26, 27 years since they went to the Premier League format with the same number of teams that they have now and the same number of games, they would have won the title in all but two of them, and it just so happened to be playing in one of them. It's been amazing to watch. You know, I was trying to think back to the last time there was a real title race, and it wasn't the one where, you know, Liverpool were kind of in it a few years ago, I think 13-14, yeah, under Brendan Rodgers. They kind of lost the title with two or three games to go, and so it didn't come down to the final day. The last real title race was when Manchester City won it in stoppage time on the final day of the season and stole it from Manchester United. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of kind of symmetry there, and it can happen to Man City. you know, and kind of flip it back in Liverpool's favor. But it's just been the best. Liverpool have lost one game all season, one game, and it was to Man City, of course. And so that, you know, that kind of 6-point swing is going to probably, I would guess, cost them the title, which it's not fair. It is so not fair to have been as good as they have been this season, and they're probably going to get nothing out of it.
Yeah, I totally get it. But for me, I enjoy an entertaining, high-paced style of soccer, and Liverpool plays that. And people ask, well, Jurgen Klopp, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't won any major trophies or awards. I'm like, yeah, but his brand of soccer is so damn fun to watch. And at some point, it's going to pay off. So the final thing for you, okay, so we all believe Liverpool is not going to have enough to get the title tomorrow. But in a couple of weeks, Champions League final, an all-English final, Liverpool and Tottenham. And listener to the show, Taco Salazar, is a Tottenham fan. We might have a bet on this game. I'm not sure. But I got to think Liverpool is a heavy favorite coming into that, and they take home the Champions League trophy.
I can't just give you that one because you're a Spurs fan, right? You know, I know. Spurs. So I can't just give it to you. The heart says, obviously, you know, wants what it wants. The head says Liverpool, clearly a better team this season, and have what did they do against Spurs? I believe they drew at Wembley, and then I think they beat them at Anfield. So. I think Liverpool are pretty big favorites for that game, just in terms of the squad that they've got, how dominant they've been this season. It feels a bit like a season of destiny, I'll say, rather than a team of destiny, that a team this good and as entertaining as you say should be winning something. And Spurs have just, you know, overachieved to a degree that simply doesn't make sense whatsoever, given the injuries and the lack of. They signed no players in the summer. They signed no players in the winter. Not a single one. The first time it had ever happened since the Premier League began, and they find themselves in the biggest game in club soccer in the entire world. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, so Mauricio Pochettino, probably a slightly better managerial job than Jurgen Klopp, but in terms of the 11 guys that he's going to put out on the field, is going to be a huge underdog, but it's about as good of a final matchup as I can imagine, just from kind of a narrative perspective, because you've got Liverpool obviously going back for the second straight season, haven't won a major trophy in a long time, and then you've got Spurs, who have never been in the Champions League final, never been in a European final, you know, even going back way back into history. And to have overachieved the way that they've done, to play another English team, it really, I think, is going to – this is going to be a moment, I think, when Spurs kind of arrive into that, you know, household name territory around the world. And, you know, they're going to, you know, win or lose, they're going to gain a lot of notoriety. And I think probably some fanfare along the way, which is, to me, is going to be really, really cool. And as someone who's, you know, followed the club for about a decade now, and has kind of gotten to know some people that have you know, supported Spurs for a really long, like their entire life, it is very much a community club, you know, at least as much as can be in the highest levels of the game. And so to see these people who have followed a perennial, not just a perennial loser, but a perennial kind of joke club, that would just always find the most ridiculous way to lose or blow something at the end of the season. They had a food poisoning issue on the final day of a season one year because they had some bad lasagna at the team hotel the day before a game.
At Upton Park, yeah.
And you know, everybody was out for the next day. Like, this is the kind of thing that we're talking about here. To see them have a comeback the way that they did on Wednesday against Ajax, and then have the realization, oh, Champions League final, that's for us now. It's been really, really cool, and kind of served as a reminder that, you know, it's fun watching it on the field, but the attachment that people have to some of these teams and these players and these places, that's even cooler. That's really what it's all about.
All right, Andy Edwards, I appreciate your time. Maybe we'll put a sawbuck on the game as well between Liverpool and Tottenham. And by the way, Connell looked it up. Last major trophy for Liverpool was 2005, and Liverpool did sweep the season series this year. So
okay. So they it was last year that they drew them in the 2-2 game at Anfield. That's right. It was February or March, so it wasn't that long ago.
If I could ask you to cast your mind back a bit further too, remember last day of the season, 1989, 1990, Liverpool and Arsenal both going for the title. Liverpool beat by Arsenal 2-0 on the day. Arsenal win the league by 2 points.
Oh, man. Hey, Andy, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about Sporting KC and World Soccer as well. It's a lot of fun. I know you're going to be dialed into all the games tomorrow morning. And then, of course, you'll be up on Sporting KC at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. I appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, Brad. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. That's Andy Edwards, who covers Sporting KC and World Soccer and all the national teams for The Athletic. Good dude. Worked for him for a number of years at an old TV station of mine. So always good stuff. Yeah, he brought up the old – we had a TV show that was nationally syndicated called Center Circle, and we'd had – guests on from all over Major League Soccer and the national team. And
was that just the soccer show?
Yeah, just a soccer show.
Nice.
And it was Andy and me and Nick Garcia, and there were a couple of the people who were on over the years, but mostly it was Nick Garcia, Andy Edwards, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then changes were made at the station. Almost everybody got laid off. That's a whole other thing. And
mm-hmm.
then they just stopped doing the show in the middle of the year one time. And I wasn't there anymore, but it was a good show. I liked it, and other people around Major League Soccer liked it, but. It's
well, Penny Failhaber's a fan, right?
Penny Failhaber's a fan.
There you go.
Always heard from players about
it. What more do you need?
Yeah, it's funny doing that show, Center Circle. It's a very specialized show. You're not going to get a huge audience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the NFL or NBA, okay? But the people who are into soccer are very loyal. And that show, we had some loyal viewership, including from players. And it was kind of the same when I did the Chiefs post-game show on television. I would go in the locker room, the Chiefs locker room, the next day or 2 days later, and players would say, hey, saw the show, nice job. Or, hey, I didn't appreciate what you said on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad. I never really had a dressing down in the locker room. But, yeah, it was nice to know that the players and some of the folks at Sporting KC appreciated it, and folks in other markets, because it was syndicated in other – it was in Dallas and Columbus and I believe New York and maybe L.A., I think L.A. too. So that was a fun show. It's a good time. It's a good time. On that note, we will take a quick timeout, and we'll come back with the final about 20 minutes of the show, hour number 3. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Colin McCourt is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Colin McCourt has been running the show for us today. Hopefully the rains are clearing out shortly. Jeff Hunter, 41 Action News, said that between 12 and 1, everything should be dissipating, easy for me to say. I'm picking all the good words that I just struggle with today. Dissipating between 12 and 1. So we just wrapped up with Andy Edwards talking a little soccer or football, if you will. He's been to England a few times to take in a Tottenham game, and I think he's been to some other places as well. We forgot to ask him about the Beatles. Forgot to ask him about that. That's okay.
We just got so caught up in all the soccer talk.
Oh, yeah. We don't get a chance to do it very often, and I know when Nate gets into it on the Border Patrol, he gets tweeted at, hey, stop the soccer patrol and all that. Look, we don't do it a lot, but it's fun to do. So I'm a Sporting fan. I'm a soccer fan. It's the way it is.
And here at 810, we're the home of Sporting Kansas City and soccer.
That's
in
right.
Kansas City. So
you can hear Sporting Sunday night at 6 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I got to ask you this, Connell. You're a single dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a girlfriend? Or
nope.
Not that it matters. I don't get this. This royal baby stuff. I've never understood it since I was a kid, since I'm a teenager, I'm an adult. I don't get it. I don't get the fawning over this royal baby who's never accomplished any. What's the? I'm sure in Ireland it's like.
It's weird. So
maybe?
Yeah, up north, half of the people love it. Some people go crazy for it. Actually fly over to England and stand outside the hospital.
Gosh, I don't get it.
I mean, losers, but I just don't really have time for it. I agree with yourself. Even the fact that there's a monarchy to this day still boggles my mind.
I don't
mind.
Get that.
Yeah?
My kids ask me about it all the time. Why do they still have kings and queens and princes when they actually don't?
do anything. And I said, well, it's based on tourism, and people want to come and see the castle, and mm-hmm. they want to be able to say, I saw the prince, or I saw the king, or the queen, or whatever. I just don't get it. I get the history of it. I understand it. But I just have... I use this joke all the time. The instrument has yet to be invented that can measure my indifference to those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the way they're just all people that don't pay tax, in my opinion.
And they live off the taxpayers.
Yeah. Taxpayers pay for them.
And really don't have to do anything. They served in the military. Okay, great.
£7 million a year to heat.
That's unbelievable. To heat?
To heat
the heat the castle?
Yeah, to heat Windsor Castle. What do you call it? Buckingham Palace?
$7 million a year?
Mm-hmm. Taxpayer money.
That's insanity!
Mm-hmm. Nurses getting laid off, NHS and stuff is suffering.
Oh, I've read those stories. Yeah. I don't want to get political about it because that turns into a whole thing. I just don't get it. Same with the Kim Kardashian and Kanye had a baby through a surrogate the other day, so that takes over everything.
Did they really?
I think so.
I don't know.
I thought I saw that. I just don't get it.
Kind of proud that I don't know that, actually. I'm gonna be honest.
You should be proud.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't care for the entertainment stuff, but sometimes all that stuff gets shoved at you because it doesn't matter what channel you're on. You can try to avoid it, but eventually it's going to...
Yeah, it's going to pop up somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to be in your Twitter timeline or whatever. By the way, I've been spending less time on Twitter lately, and I'm feeling better about that.
Yep, as you should.
I feel healthier about that, and I've done a better job. This is just a little tip for the folks in Twitter world. By the way, only 3%, 5% of the American population is on Twitter?
Is that right?
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. So when you see people, particularly news organizations, sports organizations, well, this is what's being discussed on Twitter. We got to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
This must be exactly how the American people feel about this or this team or that organization. And it's like there is so few people compared to what you think on Twitter. And so I've done a better job of limiting the amount of time I spend on it. I still like it. It's a useful tool. Absolutely useful tool. And I like interacting with fans and listeners. But I've done a better job of organizing my list so I can just go to that. Because you get a lot of... And like I said, I don't discuss politics publicly on the radio or in public in general unless they're friends of mine. Because whatever you say can be used against you. If you can be accused of being one side or the other, and half the people hate you, half the people like... So I get a lot of stuff tweeted into my timeline that just... I'm just like, are you really that negative a person? Is it really your goal every day to wake up and find something you don't like? And then you make it toxic for everybody else. And I get sick of it after a while.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, that's a whole section of the public these days. It's just people that go out to look to be offended about stuff.
Yeah,
and
or just upset.
Upset.
I don't like what that person said.
And even if you don't, what did you do before Twitter? Did you hang out your window and shout to tell everyone?
Like a town crier?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and I'm guilty of this too. Everybody kind of thinks that when you're on Twitter, when you're on Instagram, anything like that, people think it's real life. And
it's not.
Not. You know what I mean? A lot
it's
of
not.
The things that are said on Twitter that are tweeted at, say, sports stars, those people wouldn't go up and say that to that sports star.
No. You know,
it's not real life, and people... You know, you fall into thinking that, oh yeah, no one can see this.
And, yeah.
And then it comes back and bites people in 5 and 6 years.
Yeah. It's just a weird place sometimes.
It is.
I don't tweet out pictures of my kids. I don't allow them to be
it's
on
good.
Twitter.
Yeah.
So
it's good parenting right there, Brad.
Privacy, protection. Mm-hmm. I'll make a joke like, one of my kids did this today, and just a random joke, but I don't use names. I don't use pictures. I just don't. Some people do, and that's great.
Yeah, but some
people, for you.
That's it. Some people live their life like an open wound on things like Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and who is it benefiting?
I don't know.
You know? I don't know.
But it is, there are good things. There are
good, absolutely. I mean,
there are good people, good informative people, so yeah, it's good stuff. I particularly enjoy Curtis Siebold on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
He's really good.
Yeah,
He's funny and informative.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at finding that dividing line. So,
and as you said, for the good things about it, I mean, especially in like the job that we're doing at the minute,
you have to have it.
There's nothing better.
Yeah.
I mean, up to date, instant, second by second. People at the games are tweeting out what's going on around teams and stuff. So it definitely does have its uses, but it can be, of course, it can be poisonous at times.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will wrap things up. We're going to finish positively, okay? That's how we like to finish the show. We're going to finish positive, whatever it is. I'll find something positive. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Connell McCourt is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
At Live Aid, all the people gave, and the poor got paid. And out of those speakers, I did speak. I wore my sneakers, but I'm not a sneak.
Connell and I were talking about ending on a positive note, and he said, let's pick a positive song. So I picked Run DMC's My Adidas. I love this song. You cannot hear this song and not be in a good mood. Run DMC always puts me in a good mood. Love it. Absolutely love it. Back for the final couple of minutes here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Connell McCourt is running the show. A couple of quick updates before we head out the door. At the KC Golf Classic out of Blue Hills Country Club, won Joseph Winslow, the former St. Thomas Aquinas golf star. He won three state championships. He's off to a good start today. He was in the 50s, I believe, when we started the show. He's now tied for 37th. And you may think, tied for 37th, so what? That's impressive. He's a very young guy, and he's moving up the charts. He's jumped 22 spots today. So he's at one under right now. So we root for our local guys. Joseph Winslow at the KC Golf Classic out at Blue Hills Country Club. Later tonight, NASCAR back for its second day of racing at Kansas Speedway. And I had just clicked over for the race tonight. It's at 6:30. And got a lot of coverage today. I just had my email up and then my screen went blank. So NASCAR race coverage all day today, beginning at 3 o'clock. A preview with Scott and Kirk. And then baseball tonight at 5 o'clock with Sean Collins. Get you ready for Royals and Phillies. And then more NASCAR coverage at 6 with the Digital Ally 400 at 6:30. And Clint Bowyer from Emporia, Kansas. We adopt him here in Kansas City. He will roll out third. So that will be a lot of fun. And, of course, Sporting KC is tomorrow. And that'll be at 6 o'clock p.m. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, or you can watch it on Fox Sports 1. I will be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for two or three more hours of coverage. I got to check to see if I'm doing that baseball show tomorrow. No, nope, Sean Collins is in. So I'll be here from 9 to noon tomorrow. Connell, you've got you work in the morning? You got the day off? Or
I'm doing sporting tomorrow. So,
you're doing sporting. You're working tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm doing the post-game show with Dave Borchardt after.
Ah,
so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great show. So it's on the road, so you won't have to deal with all the noise from
well that's it.
The fans,
that's
right?
That's it, yeah. And hopefully, whatever way it goes, it'll be an entertaining game, and some people will call in after and give us their thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got a lot of stuff going on here. You had racing last night at Kansas Speedway, the truck race. You got the big race tonight at 6:30. You got the Royals tonight and tomorrow morning on Mother's Day. I mean, you got your choice of events. Whatever you want to go to, wherever you want to hang out, you can do that.
We're expecting the Royals to be to go ahead, yeah? Not going to be random.
No, I think the rain will be moved out.
Okay.
I'd have to check, but I think the rain's supposed to hold off.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff.
So, yeah, don't ever say that because the Royals will be upset. Yeah, the rain's not coming until tomorrow morning, at least the next round.
Awesome stuff. Yeah.
Have you ever been to Kansas Speedway, Connell?
I have not. Actually, I've heard it's very good, though.
It's quite the experience.
Yeah?
I've taken my youngest there a couple of times for the night races, and you have to get close to it if you can. If you can get into the pit area or if you can get into the infield area, just get close to it before you go up in the stands, or you can watch from the pit area. Just the noise and the raw power, and it's just awesome. Just an awesome experience. And Pat and all of his team out there at Kansas Speedway do a great job. Pat Warren, you call him Pat like he's my best friend. Pat Warren does a great job, him and his staff out there. So good stuff. All right, we want to thank all of our guests who joined us today here on Sports Saturday. David Leske from Baseball Perspectives talking Royals and all the good stuff we saw Friday night out at Kauffman Stadium with the Royals getting that 5-1 win. Try to take game two of the series tonight, 6:15 start. Thanks to Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News for joining us. To talk a little Chiefs football with the rookie minicamp wrapping up, and we're waiting for OTAs. Got some good stuff from Nick Jacobs. And then, of course, we just wrapped up with Andy Edwards talking Sporting KC, English Premier League, and Champions League soccer. All good stuff, all good guys. We appreciate your time. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, 3 hours on Sports Sunday. Thank you to Connell McCourt. My name is Brad Porter, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.